Go, choir. Let's go. Amen. He's more than enough what you need tonight. He's enough and more than enough. Isn't that a blessing? Let's stand while they come down. Shake hands again, one another. Greet everybody that's coming. Where's them girls at going to sing? Where are they at? Let's go. All right. These girls got a couple of songs for us right quick. Two of these girls are bus girls. Come to church on our buses, and they want to sing for the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. And they are not the Supremes. More like a little Debbie cake. Go ahead. Appreciate all you bus workers. Done a fine job this morning. And I don't know yet. Have any to say back here this morning, Miss Kay? We had several in here. But we had a big day on the buses. If you're in the bus ministry, do not let the devil cheat you out of it. I'm telling you, you're making a mistake. You are making a mistake. If you stay with that thing and you stay in there, you'll see God do things that you never thought possible. And years to come, I've been seeing it 20-something years, and it's amazing what God will do through those buses. Don't forget, our bus meeting Saturday morning at 9:30. We've got a lot of people to visit and a lot of things going on. We will be having, as I said, a revival February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Don't let the devil cheat you out of it. Sweetheart Banquet will be Saturday night, February 10th. So all you sweethearts, start getting sweet now. And you got a month to get sweet. So let's do that. God will bless you for it. All right. Now tonight we'll start, open your Bible, the book of Proverbs again. We'll go into a different verse, Proverbs chapter number 23. I believe Proverbs 23 tonight. Tonight I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're not going to do, it's going to be a lot different than what we did this morning. But I'm going to talk to you about what the Bible says about alcohol. What the Bible says about alcohol. Strong drink. Wine, beer, and liquor. If you went to any store in this city that sells beer and went in there and asked the man who drives the beer truck what the word beer means or where it comes from, he couldn't tell you. And that's because these people, they stub by what they go off TV and they don't ever study their Bible. The word beer comes from Numbers chapter 21. We'll turn there maybe later. And it means a well. And that's what the word beer means. Tonight, we're going to talk about what the Bible itself has to say about alcohol. So we're going to do a little Bible study, and then I'm going to close with some stories and illustrations like I had this morning. I do want to say, if you did not get this morning's message, he does have some already run back there. And please, get it. Make all teenagers, everybody, listen to this morning's message. It's very rare that you go to a church where a preacher preaches a whole sermon on alcohol anymore. It's sad. It's sad. Billy Sunday and them used to preach on it so hard all the time. He said, "I want to make America so dry, you'd have to prime a man before he can spit." That's right. And he preached on get on the water wagon. And, buddy, he preached on a dry county, a dry country. And you're much, much, much better off. Somehow or another, we've got a social gospel has come in and caused us to think that a little wine on the side won't hurt anybody. But I showed you this morning that this much right here. See that little bit in that baby bottle? That's 1 ounce. That's 1 ounce of alcohol. And I told you, if you have that much alcohol in your body, if you drink that 1 ounce, and they put it in the baby bottle because you're a big overgrown baby if you drink it. And the reason I say that, because you just ain't very smart, friend. The Bible said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're saying, I'm stupid. It's wrote right across your head. I think they ought to raise the legal drinking age to 95, and then nobody would drink. Because nobody over 95, they've got enough sense to know better. Amen? If you have that much in your system, that much alcohol reduces your ability to have reflexes by 10%. Just that much. And one glass of wine equals one beer equals one shot of whiskey for alcohol content. One glass of wine equals one beer equals one shot of whiskey for alcohol content. Just about the same amount of alcohol content. So one beer is way, way, way more than you need. I showed you in the Bible this morning that there's only two places where alcohol has any positive light at all. One of them's in 1 Timothy 5 where it says, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and often infirmities. That was a doctor-recommended medicine that had alcohol in it. That's the only good use alcohol ever had. The other one's back over in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's a prophecy of where Jews will be entering into the millennium after the curse is lifted, when there'll be no curse on it, and they'll be allowed to drink strong drink. Now, I also showed you a bunch of other stuff this morning, but let's get into the Bible and look at it tonight. Let me tell you what the Bible says about strong drink. Everybody look at this. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Everybody look at it. Let's answer these questions. Who hath woe? Now think about that. That's a miserable life. Sitting on the couch, crying. Sitting on the, wondering where your wife went. Wondering how come you pay, where your payday went. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Always wanting to fuss and argue and fight and getting fights and fussing and screaming and hollering and cussing. Who hath babbling? Blah, 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 blah. Who has all this kind of stuff? Who hath wounds without cause? Hold your finger there. Who has wounds without cause? Now listen, I've had a few wounds in my life. I got one right now when I was playing ball up there and got hurt. But I'm telling you, I've seen guys come in and their face be all here and their skin be off their knees and their elbows all skinned up and come in like that and say, "What happened?" "I don't know. I was having fun last night, you know." Yeah, you sure was. You got wounds without cause. Somebody beat the fool out of you in a parking lot, and you didn't even know it. Look here what it says here. Who hath redness of eyes? You ever seen somebody drinks all the time? Their eyes get red. Isn't that sad? See a pretty young lady and her eyes all bloodshot from drinking. Man, it's red around here. It comes out of his pores. They that tarry long at the wine. They that go and seek mixed wine. Now here's where it tells you that you're not supposed to look at wine after it's fermented. Look at verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. There's the difference between new wine and old wine. There's wine that is fermented. Don't look at it. Don't sit with people who are drinking it. Amen? If you can, folks, come over and try to bring it. Say, "No, we're not allowing it in our house." Amen? Come on, Christians. Amen? The best thing to do is say, "We're not allowing it in my house." No, sir. Don't do it. Verse 32, "At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder." Young men, let me show you what alcohol will do to you. Verse 33, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women." You think, like the old fellow said, any of them looks good at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're drunk. And that's exactly what that verse means right there. That's exactly what that verse means. When you sober up and look at her, she'd scare a horse if he saw her. Amen? That's right. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." You'll just talk, oh, crazy, perverted stuff. "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea." A drunk man's like somebody laying down in the ocean. What's going to happen to him? He'll just drown. "Or is he that lieth on the top of a mast?" Look here what you say after you've been drunk. Verse 35. "They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Did I learn my lesson? When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Go right back and do it the very next weekend, just like he had good sense. That's why the Bible said that a man that looks at wine when it's fermented is not wise. You are not a smart person if you mess with alcohol, fermented wine. Now, let's show you in the Bible this evening that there is new wine and the old wine in the Bible. New wine is perfectly all right. You can drink all of it you want to. It is nothing but pure grape juice. I'll prove that from the Bible. Take your King James Bible, hold it in your hand. Let's go first to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Now I want to slow down a little bit tonight, then I'm going to bring you some stories, then we'll go. Isaiah chapter number 65. Let's show you this once and for all so that you'll know that new wine in the Bible is not fermented. It is not going to make anybody drunk. You could drink 10 gallons of it and you wouldn't get drunk. You'd get sick and throw up, but it wouldn't be from getting drunk if you drunk this wine. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 8. You looking at it with me? Hurry now, because I got several scriptures to turn to. Isaiah 65, 8. "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the what?" In the what? Say it again. Cluster. You know what a cluster is? It's grapes hanging on a vine. You know what God said? God said that juicy stuff that's in them grapes hanging on a vine is new wine. That's what it is. God called grape juice wine in the Bible. You say, "Brother Danny, that's not the right definition." Oh, yes, it is too. They got it wrong now. That's right. New wine in the Bible is simply grape juice. Let me show you again. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Way back to your left there. It's Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fifth book in the Bible. Deut means five.
Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. And let's show you what the Bible says here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 14. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 14. Let me show you this. The Bible said this. The Bible said, butter of kine. That's cows. Kine is in the Old Testament. Milk of sheep. Fat of lamb, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. That's grape juice. That's grape juice. It's called wine in the Bible. Now, look at Judges chapter 13. The book of Judges. Flip on over to your right there. On over to the book of Judges. Not very far. Joshua, then Judges. Judges chapter number 13. And watch out for your 13s. Judges chapter number 13 in the Bible. Your King James Bible said this. If you got another version of the Bible, there's no telling what it might say. So don't pay any attention to it. Judges chapter number 13. And I'm going to show you the difference between new wine and old wine and strong drink in the Bible. Judges 13, verse 14. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink. That puts a difference between wine and strong drink. Wine or strong drink. You say, Brother Daniel, I thought wine was strong drink. If it's true, he would have said, he said there, don't drink wine or wine. That ain't what he said. He said, don't drink wine or strong drink. It's fermented when it's strong drink. Yes, sir. In the Word of God, it's fermented when it's strong drink. Now, Judges chapter number 9. Back to the book of Judges and look at chapter number 9. Yeah, here in the Word of God. Judges chapter number 9, verse 21. There's the second place, the second, third place it mentions beer. Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer. There's what the word means. Back to Numbers chapter 21. Go backwards to the book of Numbers right before Deuteronomy. And let's look at what the word beer means. Numbers chapter number 21. Here in the Bible. Nothing like a good little Bible study to clear up what they tell you in the colleges and universities or on the TV commercials at the football game. Numbers chapter number 21, look at verse 16. Numbers chapter 21, verse number 16. And from thence they went to Beer. That's the first time the word's mentioned in the Bible. Next word, that is the well. That's the law of first mention. And the law of first mention means that when the Lord mentions something for the very first time in the Bible, it usually sets a precedent for what that thing will mean throughout the rest of the Bible. Like the number 13 I mentioned a while ago. Like rebellion. It's connected with rebellion. Usually the first mention of something in the Bible sets a precedent of what it would be for the rest of the Bible. If you have 0.2% of alcohol in your blood, you think you can fight anybody. If you have 0.4% alcohol in your blood, you are in a drunken stupor. You're staggering, you're falling, you're bumping into things. If you have 0.6% alcohol in your bloodstream, you could die. It could kill you. People die every single day from too much alcohol. Alexander the Great wasn't one of the greatest. They said he conquered the world, but he could not conquer himself. How's on, brother? Listen. Hey, Brother Mike. My mic on. Listen, he said this. He was a ruler at 16. You know what he said? He was a victorious general at 18 years of age. He was a king at 20. And he died a drunkard at 33 years of age. Bach, the great Bach. You know, you've heard of Bach the musician. His son was outruined by alcohol. Rembrandt. Rembrandt, the famous architect there. 36 years of age. Went to an alcoholic's grave. They said that drink is the greatest trap that has ever been set for a genius, for people that are famous. Have you ever noticed that everybody who has a lot of stuff and has a lot of fame and fortune, almost every one of them drink? Have you noticed that almost every person who has a lot of money drinks? Have you noticed that? It's very, very rare that a person that has a lot of money or has a high position in society or is popular that don't drink. You know why? The devil says, well, you've got got to drink. Everybody does up here on this level. When you live in this income bracket, when you live in a $300,000 home, when you're making $700,000 a year, you have to drink. Not if you've got a brain in your head. You don't. You don't have to do it. And you're not very smart if you do, brother. I'm telling you, better make up your mind. You're going to say no. You're going to say no. You're going to say no. It'll cause you to get in fights at people you haven't even been mad at. Lusting after the wrong people. Lose your heart. Some people say that the more you make it available. We actually had people tell us. We had a fight in Marion about, Lord, it's been nearly 20 years ago now. About 1984, I reckon, or five. Been over 20 years. I grew up in Marion, and all my life in Marion, it was a dry county. Dry county. Spruce Pine, the next county up, still a dry county, I think, except right there beside the parkway. And you were never allowed to sell beer, alcohol, or wine in McDowell County my whole life. Growing up, I told you this morning, my daddy got it at the bootleggers. And my daddy used to leave it. And we'd go get it and try to sober daddy up. And he couldn't find it while he was drunk. We'd go put it in my van. And my van had a big sign on the back of it with purple letters that big. Said, Jesus is coming soon. Repent now. And I told you about taking it back to the bootlegger this morning. Scared him to death. He thought I was going to call the cops. And I'd open up my van and make him get it all out. One day, me and Buck Boys went street preaching. And we was out there at the shopping center preaching somewhere. I think we was like in Forest City or down in Rupton somewhere. We was just preaching, shouting, giving out tracts, having a big time. One of them boys come over and he said, Brother Danny, come here. And I leaned over and he said, did you know there's a six-pack of beer under your seat? I said, they are. He said, yeah. I said, man, it ain't mine. I promise you that. I said, I never drunk beer in my life. I said, that's daddy's. I guess we forgot to get that out when we went to the bootlegger. I don't know if they ever believed that or not. But it was under there. And we took it out and threw it away. I threw it out in the woods or something. But I'll tell you what, we had a liquor fight up there. And they were trying. You know what them crooks done? They annexed a certain section of town. That's the only way they could vote it in. And you know what they do in these little old towns? They got it rigged. They got it rigged. And I'm not afraid for if any of them hear this tape, because I preached a whole sermon called The Double Curse of Booze, and we put it in the McDowell News. We bought a whole page of the McDowell News, whole page, cost $500, and printed that sermon word for word. You talk about causing a stink. Lord have mercy. How many of us with us in that liquor fight we had up there? Oh, my goodness. Boy, we had a fight on our hands. I mean this, calling my name, frightening people against me in the newspaper, and some of the teachers at school. I put give them that verse about Isaiah 65. They got mad. One of the teachers told their students, well, he's misinterpreting. And I said, well, all I said was a new wine found in the cluster. I didn't interpret it. I just read it. I just told them what it said. She just didn't like what it said was her problem. And one of the county leaders told me, he said, well, you know, they drunk wine in the Bible, Danny. I said, not the kind of wine they're selling out here on this street and trying to make legal in our county. And some of the people in the county told us, they said, now listen, for years, Marion has been behind Morganton. They said, Morganton is a prosperous city. They said, Asheville is a prosperous city. They said, Marion's never prospered because we don't have wine and alcohol in an ABC store. We call it Manchester's Cow Store. And they said, we don't have one. We've never prospered. And we got up and I told them, a city that's built out of blood ain't going to prosper no way. That's blood money. Alcohol money is blood money. And you know what they tried to tell us? They told us, they said, now if you make it more available, they said, people get drunk, there'll be more young people drinking. They said, no. The reason so many people drink in McDowell County is because it's taboo and it's forbidden. They said, if you make it more available, they said, people won't drink as much. I got up and I preached about that. I said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. That's like when we was little, they'd get mom and give us a half a Pepsi, and that's all we got. You mean to tell me if she'd filled that refrigerator full of Pepsis, that we'd have drunk less Pepsi? You mean to tell me if I put candy up here, if I give every kid in here one piece of candy, and then the next Sunday I put a whole bag of it up here, the kids are going to eat less candy? No, sir. That's retarded. And I said, that ain't going to work, brother. And so we put that sermon in the paper. I thought I was going to get beat up. I was up there in a restaurant in Marion one day, and these guys over there running around said, yeah, preachers over there trying. That boy, that was a mouthing off to me. And buddy, I mean, tell you, you know what we done? We took this car and it was four young men killed in a car accident. And I used to use in a rock presentation that I had, that Brother Roy Lee and them used to use. And we took that car, or a car like it. Was it that one or one like it? Maybe it was that one. And somebody had the bright idea. They said, let's take that thing up on Main Street. We got permission from a businessman that run a business on Main Street to display that car. And we put that car up on a car. It was smashed all to pieces. And everybody knew that alcohol was what killed them young men. They can say all they want to. They can try to justify it all they want to. But alcohol kills more young men and more young ladies, ruins their life, cause them to get in trouble, car wrecks, than anything you can think of. And that's why the Bible said, you ain't smart if you drink alcohol. You're just a dumb head. You're not wise. The Bible said you're not wise. And so we put that car up on Main Street and put a big old sign, rented one of them signs that lights up. And it said, a boat for alcohol is a boat to kill. And buddy, I'm telling you, the fur done hit the fan. And I'm telling you, and I said, that's absolutely right. It is. Because you have more alcohol, you have more deaths on the highway. That can be proved in court, brother. And a vote for alcohol is a vote to kill more young people. And I don't care what you say. You can tell any businessman in Morganton. I don't care if they do think they're hot shots in Morganton and drink it out on the street. I don't care. Every one of them's wrong. Every one of them's going against God. Every single one of them against God. You say, well, Brother Danny, they don't like you already. Now, you don't hurt me one bit. I'm telling you this evening, brother, it's a curse. God's curse is upon alcohol. God's curse is upon anybody that makes it. God's curse is upon anything, anybody that serves it. If you work in a restaurant and you have to serve it, you ought to quit and get you another job. It's wrong to fool with. You ought not to touch that stuff. Say amen right there. Well, I'm telling you, people got mad. And they got real mad. And I was up in Michigan preaching, and somebody called me and they said, Brother Danny, you're on the front page of the newspaper, and they said they're accusing you of breaking the law. I said, what? And somebody wrote a big article in the paper, some smart aleck that worked for the newspaper, and he said, this church group is playing fast and loose with the law. And they said, everybody knows that it's against the law for a junkyard to be displayed in Marion. I started to say, have you rode around some of our streets? They said it's against the law, a junkyard to be displayed in Marion. A fence has to be in front of the junkyard. This church group is playing fast and loose with the law. Reverend Castle is cheating and playing against the rules. And it said that I had told people it broke the law and made a junkyard on Main Street in Marion. Well, I pitched a fit. That was on the front page of the paper. And when I got home, I went straight to the newspaper up there, sat down, and I said, listen, I want to know what's going on here. And you know what it said? That guy said, one wonders which is the greatest sin, taking a drink of alcohol or playing fast and loose, juggling the law. Like it was a bigger sin for us to put that car up there than it is to get drunk. That's right. And buddy, I went to the newspaper and I said, I demand equal spot. I demand. I said, first of all, I didn't put that car there. It was my idea, but I didn't put it there. I said, you know what they done? They hauled that thing over to our church parking lot and left it there. And I said, second, I said, the man gave us permission. I said, third, I never heard tell of no such law that you can't adjust. I said, there's people driving up and down the street in cars that look that bad. Amen. Amen. I had a few that looked that bad. I'm telling you what, I said, that ain't a junkyard. He's trying to say that we, on purpose, broke the law. And he said, they can't do nothing until they, here's what he said in the article. He said, they can't do nothing till the next city council meeting. And that church knows that it's going to be past election time. And then the election will be over. And they're cheating. The truth is, that crowd just got under conviction because four young men had lost their lives in that automobile. I'm telling you what, boy, I got up on Sunday and I told them, I said, we ain't playing fast and loose with the law. I said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard tell in my life. And we got together and we prayed and prayed, and they annexed a certain section of town that had 400 people in it and voted alcohol in, and it lost by 30 votes. And here's how crooked that crowd is. Talk about playing fast and loose with the law. You live in the county, you buy your groceries in the city, You buy your tag for your car in the city. You pay your taxes in the city. You do all your business in the city, but you can't vote if you don't live in that city limits.
Yeah.
And then they put up signs saying, come to Marion to do all your business. But you can't vote. Everybody that lives in the county ought to be allowed to vote. Talk about playing fast and loose with the law. Give me a break. Buddy, I'll tell you, it got bad. We had to fight about our life. You talk about a fight. You ain't never been in a fight in your life till you didn't fight against alcohol. But you know why? Because the government gets the money. You know, they'll help you fight drugs because the pusher gets the money. But the government won't have to stand against alcohol because they get the money. And I will tell you something this evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's been 20 years ago. And honest to goodness, I don't know if Marion's grown a bit. I ain't seen no big businesses come in. There's a bunch of places went out of business. A bunch of people's lost their job. There's a few weirdos from up north came in. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Yankees come in and a few things. But I don't know if it's been... I don't think it's been improved. I don't think it's a bit better place than it was. I think it's worse. I think Morganton's worse. I think Hickory's worse. I think Lenore's worse. I think any place is worse. Nobody's ever been made better by alcohol. Amen. Even social drinking destroys brain cells. 8 times as many people get cirrhosis of the liver that drink, that don't, among people that don't drink. Have you ever seen anybody with cirrhosis of the liver? That's what alcohol does to you. If you're a social drinker, you only take a sip of wine once in a while, it destroys your brain cells, and every time you get drunk, thousands and thousands of brain cells are destroyed, and brain cells do not reproduce. They're gone forever. And most of you need all you got. Some of you men, listen to me now. This man I read about had a drinking problem, bad drinking problem. People been preaching to him, talking to him. He's sitting in the living room one day, and he said God spoke to him. And God said, cough. And he went, and his little boy sitting over there, and he went, and he said, God said, cross your legs. And he crossed his legs. And he looked over there, and without even looking up, that little boy crossed his legs. And God said, see that little boy right there? He's going to be just like you. A boy goes right in his daddy's footsteps. Unless God does something for him. And he went upstairs and he got down in the floor. Listen to me, men. And he said, God, I'm not getting out of this floor till you give me the victory. And he quit drinking. He quit just like that. Took him to the next day. Took him to the next day, but he got the victory. It's worth it spending 8 or 10, 12 hours on the floor on your face if you can get the victory over alcohol. Amen. I know what your young people's problem is. I know what your problem is, young people. Young people don't drink because they like it. Young people drink because all their friends are drinking and they don't want to feel like an outcast or an oddball or a weirdo. That's why they drink. I felt that pressure. I felt it. God spared me. I've never been drunk. I put it to my lips and tasted a couple of times because I was scared of what my friends would say. That's all I've ever tasted it. I was scared because of what I saw it do to my daddy. My uncle one time took me out in the yard and he popped a beer and he'd pour salt in it. And he salted that beer down there and he said, here, taste this. And I put it to my lips and it smelled like pig slop. And that's the closest I've ever been to beer, just smelled it. One night I was coming home from a ball game. And I was with these boys. Young people, listen. And these boys, I was about 13 or 14. The guy driving the car was 18, 19, some of them was 20. And while we was driving up the road that night, then these boys were from Marion, we were from Nebo, and I didn't know them real good. I don't know how I wound up in the car with them. Just home from a ball game. If you think just because a kid's playing sports, they're safe and all this stuff, you're really, really wrong. If you don't know who they're with every minute and what's going on, the devil will get in there before you know it. My mom would have had a heart attack if she'd have knew what was going on. These boys just give me a ride home. Just from the schoolhouse to where I live in Nebo.
And halfway up the road, one of them reached under the seat and pulled out a six-pack of beer. And without even asking us, did we want one, they just started handing them out. And they handed me one. And I remember I took it like that right there. You say, why'd you take it? I was scared. Scared of what they was going to think about me. There's you young people's problem right there. You are too scared to stand for what you know is right because of what your friends are going to say. We call that peer pressure. That's why you parents got to make sure they're with the right crowd of people, because whoever they're around, they're going to influence your kids. I don't get the best kids in the world. And they handed me that beer and I took it. And I wasn't even saved. And I looked at it and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? You know what I should have done? I should have said, I don't want that, and handed it back to them. That's what I do now. Somebody handed me a beer now, I'd like to say, do I look stupid? That's what I told the guy at the Olive Garden one night. That's what I told him. He said, would you like some a free sample of wine? I said, I look dumb. He said, no, no. I said, the Bible says if you drink wine, you're not wise. He said, oh. And he just went on like that. You know how some of them waiters are some of those places? And buddy, I'll tell you what. I looked at him and said, I ain't scared. But I'll tell you something, buddy. I took that thing and I looked at it like that. And I looked at that thing, and I was chicken. I hate to admit that to y'all. I didn't have any more guts than that. Let them offer it to me now. They won't do it now. Back then, they intimidated me. And I was scared what they was going to think about me. And some of you parents have forgot what it's like to be 13 and 14 and 15. You know what the most important thing in the world to a 13-year-old is? The opinion their friends have of them. That's the most important. That's dangerous, man. They don't need to be let out of the house. They don't need to be out of the house. That's an accident waiting to happen. And buddy, I took that thing, and here's what I did. I popped the top. And I went like this, and it's dark. And I went like this, and I didn't even taste it. Every few minutes, I'd do like this. About 5 minutes, I'd do like this. They thought I was drinking. I waited till everybody else started getting through, you know. When they started getting through theirs, I thought, well, I'm through with mine. I rolled down the window, about that much, and threw the whole thing out the window. I rolled it up real quick so they wouldn't hear it. You know, if it had been empty, it went ding, 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 ding. Mine just went, don't. And I threw that thing out the window, and rolled the window up real quick. And went on the road. That's why kids drink. That's why they drink. It ain't because they like it. It ain't because it tastes good. It's because they're going to think I'm a sissy. Or they're going to think I'm chicken. Or they're going to think I'm not cool. Or they're going to think the pressure is on them so much. And everybody on TV does it. And everybody at school's doing it. And we're all going over to so-and-so's house. And everybody's drinking. There's where mom and daddy's got to know what's going on. Got to. Got to. And you can't trust yours, and I can't trust mine, and you can't trust you, and you can't trust me, and I can't trust me, and I can't trust you. You say, I trust my kids. You're crazy. You're crazy if you trust your kids. You remember when you was their age, don't you? What makes you think they're any different than you was? They got the same pressure, the same temptation, the same devil, except about 50 times worse.
Right. Amen.
I'd give, if I had that to live over, see, I wasn't even saved. I didn't get saved. I was 18. I should have said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, you fools. What's wrong with you boys? Let me out. That's what I'd say now. Let me out. Let me drive or let me out. I ain't riding nobody drinking. I'm not going to ride with a person drinking alcohol. You want to wind up? You want to wind up with a broke neck or a broke back or possibly dead in the funeral home, brother? Then leave it alone. Stay away from it. Stay away from the parties where it's going to be. Stay away from it. You say, well, I run around with these folks and I know they drink, but I'm not going to. If you hang around them long enough, you're going to. You hang around long enough, you'll do the same thing they do. You'll wind up like they are. They say the liquor seller is the only merchant that's ashamed of his best customer. No. Tonight, I'm going to close. I could go over some of the things I went over this morning, but I'll not take time to do that. A little girl attended Sunday school in another city. Her daddy found a pistol, which had been hiding from him because he drank so much. He had sat on the couch and put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger in their living room on Sunday evening. His blood and his brains were sticking to the furniture, the walls, and the screen on the front door. The preacher had to go comfort that little girl in the home of her neighbors and conduct a funeral for another victim. Our public enemy number one. I heard story after story as we got out this morning. Right back there standing this evening. One man, I may have him tell this story, stopped me back there and he said, "Brother Danny, my uncle made his wife sit on the couch, set the kids around, and said them kids sat there and watched him blow his wife's brains out. And then turned the gun on himself, killed himself, isn't that right? Died a little bit later. Just happened right over here in next county over. It's the awfulest thing the devil's ever invented. It's a curse. It'll destroy your life. Tonight, I'm going to ask every young person, let's make a commitment. And I'm going to make it with you.
Amen.
Let's promise God tonight that we're not going to let it touch our lips. No beer, no wine, no liquor, nothing. You say, "Well, brother, I like to keep a little in the refrigerator just so that once in a while it's not doing anybody any harm." Yeah, you let your kids see that. You let your kids. You know what you're saying to them? You're saying to them, it don't matter what the Bible says. It don't matter what the preacher says. This is all right. And for every one person like that that might handle it in a few years, there's 10,000 that it took down the tube. Let's make a commitment tonight. Like Abraham Lincoln promised his mother, "I'll never drink." Promise your mother. Promise your daddy.
Amen.
"It'll never touch my lips by the grace of God."
Yeah.
Maybe you're here tonight, you've got a secret habit of slipping around drinking and nobody don't know it. It's getting a hold of you, friend. It's getting a hold of you little by little by little. It took it nearly 20 years to get my daddy. He finally got him. And I believe my daddy would be alive right now. I know I mention him a lot, but it just tires my heart out to think about it. My daddy was, he didn't have any education. He was from up there in the mountains of Kentucky and West Virginia. Never went, probably the second grade. But he, as far as, you know, he didn't have education, but he could outthink any of those other guys he worked with. I mean, he'd think circles around them and outsmart them. But he couldn't beat that liquor. You ain't smart enough to beat that liquor. You're not smart enough. It's got bigger men than you are and ruined their life. It's got bigger ladies than you are. And when you say, "I can take it or leave it." Yeah, I hear you. That's what they all say. There's one way we can guarantee all these young men up here will never, ever, ever become an alcoholic. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
Junior, why don't you come up here right quick and tell us just briefly, that story. I wasn't going to do this, and I don't want to embarrass nobody. I don't know, it might be some of your kin folks, but I'm doing this to try to help these young people.
A little bit about what happened.
Well, it was actually my uncle's daddy. It was my Uncle Jim. He's dead too now, but the story was that my uncle was the kindest man you'll ever meet. You'll never meet a better person. He's the one uncle we all the kids loved. It changed his life dramatically, and he couldn't even talk about his daddy. And his daddy died right. His daddy went to prison. All of his my uncle's life. He was in prison over it, and he, when he got out of prison, he died. And I was his pole bearer as a child. But he had four brothers and one sister, and he was drunk. Made them all sit down. His mom and dad was arguing. He set them down and blew his mama's brains out all over his kids and everything. He was going to shoot them all. But he got her, and the other ones run and tried shooting him. Y'all, I know people after people like that. I really do. I know a brother that shot his brother and killed his uncle and tried killing his aunt in their sleep over it. He's right. It's not good. It's not good. I've lived it too. It's not good.
Andy, come up here. I didn't plan on doing this. But I just want, he's a cop. Marion, just say something about what goes on up on average day.
Cool. Well, I take a lot of people to the bus, which goes to prison over DWIs a lot. Mamas and daddies. It blows my mind. It don't really tear me up too bad, you know, to see the guys, because, you know, you see guys come in all the time, but to see these women come in that they're hooked bad on drinking, meth, and all that other stuff, but there's a lot of drinking, a lot of DWIs that come through, yeah. And it's not just one DWI, that's four and five, six, they just can't stop, and it goes on all the time. It's just unreal, the people that go to prison and stuff over it, and just seems like they just can't get a grip of their own life, and it's bad stuff, and I was raised around it, and by God's good grace that I'm not a drunk, or my brothers, or
amen.
My sister.
Amen.
I mean, we was raised around it all our lives. I can remember all the way up till I was 13, 14 years old, just my daddy drinking and my mama drinking, and God saved my mom and my dad, and it's a battle. It's a battle,
yes.
That the my dad still has a battle with it. And you know what? I'm not Brother Danny. I ain't never been drunk a day of my life. I've drunk three beers. That's when I was 17. And I got saved about 2 weeks later.
Amen.
And God, by God's grace and His mercy, my brothers, every one of my brothers, my sister and me, all in church, and God just saved us.
Thank God.
And y'all just need to think about it, because it's God's good grace that we're sitting here today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Is Desi come to the piano?
Well, Jason, come on up here and say something, brother. Like I said, I didn't plan on this. I want her to start playing him. I'm going to tell him that alcohol's affected every one of our lives in some way or another. Let's say something, brother.
Well, when I was five, my mom and dad partied. And I remember living up in Woodlawn in a trailer park and never had anything really at all. And I can remember people jumping on my bed, tearing my only Christmas present up. As a kid, I had a little set of drums when I was about 5 years old, listening to the Rolling Stones, drinking beer and liquor in my house, and my home was hell, because of partying and alcohol. My mom and dad aren't here tonight, but I went and lived with my grandmother, and because of alcohol and other drugs and things like that, but mainly alcohol, my parents left me. And when I was a kid, and they nothing hurts like that. Nothing. When you choose alcohol or you choose drugs over your own children,
yes.
You need help.
My Lord.
And I deal with that today. I deal with it today. I mean, the pain of being abandoned and being left.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know, and it's horrible. It really
is.
And, you know, it ain't no life to live. Well, thank God I got saved. You know, I grew up in that home and came back and lived with my parents when I was a teenager. And they taught me to drink, and we drank and partied. And I tell you what, I was miserable. And I thank God for the day He saved me. When I was 15 years old, I never knew what life was. You know, I think about John 10:10. It said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." And that's what alcohol do to you. But
yes,
Jesus said, "I'm coming that you might have life."
That's right.
I thank God I found out I could have life. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Then she would call Jason. or he was not coming. I'm coming to visit you. They wouldn't show up. They never
coming
at gas to come to Greenville to see their child. But they had money to buy liquor, buy drugs, and party up here.
Yeah.
It had an effect on Jason. Jason has told me many, many times, Nanny, you're not just my nanny. You're my mom.
Amen.
And I covet your praise for
Jason.
Amen. That the Lord will keep him in his will. And but I also covet your prayers for
Amen.
Mom and his brother. That there's recovery out there.
Yes.
Lord, and I know that there is. My father was an alcoholic. My father raised 7 children. My father didn't die an alcoholic, though.
Amen.
My father got saved.
Amen.
In the nursing home, 1 year, 2 days, and 6 hours before he died.
Amen. You know, that's right, folks.
And I know my dad.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. Amen. God bless you, Sister Ruby. Amen. You know, when you think about all the women that sat on the steps waiting on their husband to come home, hoping he'll have some grocery money to buy groceries for the kids. The kids crying, Mama, where's Daddy? When you think about all the little wives in little apartments and trailers, and he comes home and slaps her around. Slaps her, beats her teeth out of her mouth. Busts her jaws up. How could we think it's cool? How could we think it's cute? How could we think it's amusing? You say, boy, I love them beer commercials on TV. You ought to just want to spit on the TV when they come on. That stuff's trash. It's trash. They have no sympathy for your family, your kids, or your mom and dad. Brother Ray, you want to say something? Come up here. I didn't ask none of these people ahead of time, so I don't hate to spring this on them. I'm just trying to follow the Lord here.
Well, I had to go to prison a while back. It's like 20-some years, but, you know, I've always been kind of quiet and easygoing. But some friends come up to our house, and we was partying, drinking, and smoking and everything, and we just got plumb wild, and we got the idea of going shooting up this little town, little colored section. We was all real prejudiced, always have been all my life till I got saved, and that's what we done, and I don't remember half of it, we finally got caught. They set up roadblocks. We shot in several houses and shot one guy running in his house. And I was one driving. And we sideswiped a couple cars just going right up the road. You know, I didn't care. And the ones with me didn't. And we finally got caught that night and got put in jail. And I had about 8 or 9 charges against me, and they said, you look at about 120 years, you'll be in here a while. And you know, it never did bother me before. I always been in jail, in and out all the time for drinking, and that stuff, it'll get a hold of you and make you do things you never even thought about doing. But thank the Lord. I don't know who he was.
Hallelujah.
But I remember his face come by one Saturday and witnessed me in jail.
Amen.
And I always thought I got saved when I was little. I always held on with that, like I hear a lot of people do. But you know, I had it in my head and I didn't have it in my heart, and there's a big difference. And that day,
The Lord got me still. Yes, you have to get you still before you listen to Him.
Yeah.
And He got me still, and I asked Him to come to my heart and save me. And I haven't drunk a drop since, and I
Amen.
Hope for grace God I never will.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
But that stuff will make you do things you never thought about doing.
That's right.
But I just thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen.
Taking that away from me.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Ray. You know, I go up north and preach, and almost every other store up there is an alcohol liquor store. And you know what they call it on the front of a restaurant? It'll say food and spirits. Have you ever noticed that? Food and spirits. First time I seen that, I asked the preacher, I said, spirits? He said, that's drinks. Why would you call drinks spirits? You tell me. But that stuff's got spirits in it. You're drinking the devil down your throat. Devil juice. It's devil juice. It's devil juice. Amen. Somebody else got a testimony, and we're going to have an invitation. Play a thing, Miss Desi.
First year, he'd take me with him.